There you go. What's going on? It is B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. How's it going, Joe?
Oh, it's going great. It's Tuesday. It's going to be a little rainy today, Brian. But you know what? Tuesday's never a great day. I should take back what I said. It's going good. No, Tuesday's never a great day.
Taco Tuesday?
Yeah. But it's Wednesday. I'm not even on the right day. It's hump day, Brian. It's a rainy hump day, but going with the flow. Worked out at 3 a.m. this morning. I feel great. I have more energy than I've had in forever, and I think this might be a new trend, getting up early and getting the workout out of the way before coming in.
I admire you for getting up early and going to work out. I wish I could work out before work. Waking up early doesn't seem worth the earlier, I should say, than what we normally does not seem worth the trade-off.
Yes,
to me.
We'll have to see. Let's see how the day goes. I've only done this once before this early. Now, when I worked in retail, I used to get up at 5 a.m. and go to the gym. Those two hours are very different. But you know what? Went to bed a little early last night. Woke up as of right now, as of 9:08. Feeling pretty good. So far, it's worth it. Let's see how the day progresses.
The other part of that to me is I have trouble when I have like a hard out. You know what I'm saying? Like when I feel rushed is when I don't get as good of a workout.
Well, the workout was great, but as you saw, I almost did not get in.
Oh, you were just in time. As long as you are a second early.
That's right.
You're early.
That's right. You're right.
A second or an hour doesn't matter.
Good point.
If you're here to push that button and make sure, you know, we know about the Boys and Girls Club of America, that 3 o'clock bell sounds a lot different. I think you're all set.
But, you know, it worked out well. The only lesson I learned this morning is don't do the, it's 3 o'clock. Am I going to go? Am I not going to go? Get up and go.
No hemming and hawing. You have to be, like, right at it. All
action.
The extra
10 minutes would have been great. Yes.
So this morning, as soon as you got in, you rushed in here. Then we came on the air, and we were bringing you some of the top stories, including this from yesterday. Dick's Sporting Goods. Talking about their you know, quarterly earnings call. And they were talking about a startling loss in profits. 23% drop in profits for Dick's Sporting Goods. And here's some of what they gave as an explanation. Morgan Norwood.
Dick's Sporting Goods says an increasingly serious theft problem is one factor behind a whopping 23% drop in its profits. The retailer joined a growing list of companies, including Target, Home Depot, TJ Maxx, and Ulta, recently sounding the alarm on brazen thieves ransacking stores. The National Retail Federation says organized retail crime is increasing, accounting for $94.5 billion in losses in 2021. The spike in retail theft is being blamed on everything from inflation to what critics call a lack of law enforcement from prosecutors.
So there's Morgan Norwood with the story there. Dick's saying that it's retail theft that's really to blame. Target and Home Depot have sounded the alarm of something the same. Target and Home Depot, though, Target especially, also sounding the alarm about student loan repayments restarting. People have less cash in their pockets. The National Retail Federation says organized retail crime accounts for about $94.5 billion in losses in 2021. Now, I heard this, Joe, and I said, like, wow, that's certainly something. And I don't know the books of Dick's Sporting Goods. But I have my own theory as to why profits might be down, specifically at Dick's, but I have a feeling this could go for other places too. But when I think about this one particular store in the news yesterday and why profits could be down, my immediate number one reaction is, well, yeah, because now when you walk in, and like now is the time of year where people are gearing up for bills season. You're buying your merchandise, whatever that might be, new gear for the bills season. Maybe it's a cooler, maybe it's a sweatshirt. Maybe it's a jersey. Maybe it's a pop-up tent or a chair or anything like that.
Plus whatever sport your child's going to play in fall. I mean, that's getting you in the store as well.
Yeah, yeah. But like all these things Like now is the time of year. So they have it all out.
Oh, yeah.
You walk into that store, you want to buy a Bills Nike hoodie, it's $85. What is the likelihood that I am going to impulse buy? Because like I feel like that's a lot of it, right? You're not necessarily taking a trip to a store for the sole purpose of buying whatever Bills sweatshirt might be on the rack.
You might say, hey, if I see something Bills, but yeah, you don't have the specific thing in mind.
But like, what are the odds you're going to impulse buy something that you see there that's $85 for a sweatshirt when 2 years ago, that used to be $50,
yes.
Right? So like, it's not like it was always that and we're just not buying it because everyone has the gear. It's a significant jump. It's 50% more than it cost just a couple of years ago. That's more than just inflation. The jersey, I brought this up. The jersey, I bought a Josh Allen jersey in 2020.
Look
at
you.
I was like, you know what? This guy, it was after like game number three. He's throwing it all over the place. I said, we've never had a quarterback like my entire life.
He might turn out to be pretty good.
Yeah. Like I've been complaining about it for the last 15 years. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. We got a guy who's awesome to watch. I'm going to buy the jersey. And I'm not spending any money on tickets because I'm not allowed to go to the games.
Yeah, 2020 was the year.
Thanks to the governor. Yeah. Like, right? So I am going to spend money. I'm going to drop. I usually never do this. I think I got a coupon code. I paid like $95 for a Josh Allen jersey. And it's a nice one. It's from the NFL store, stitched on numbers, like a legit. Not from like the Chinese Express store.
I had a J.P. Lossman jersey like that, stitched on.
Yeah, like very nice jersey, $95. Yeah. That same jersey now, you walk into the store, is $175.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's all the Nike products especially have just skyrocketed in store.
And the quality isn't as good, by the way.
I mean, if we like want to go there, yes.
If you compare it to what was in store only a few years ago, the quality is not as good. Might that have something to do with the drop in profits? Like, might that be turning some people away, like prices of things doubling in a 3 year period?
I definitely think theft, and that theft is not a new problem, though. I love how we're talking about it's not a new problem. When I worked retail again 10 years ago, it was a problem, and it might be the way that it's handled. But I also think that the prices of things have gotten out of control. Brian, we're talking about the $85 hoodies, but have you ever seen something like, a bag that without the logo would be $20?
Oh, yeah.
But it's got a Bills logo stitched onto it, and now it's $85, and it's as much as the hoodie. You want to get a hoodie and a backpack, you're going to be close to $200, and all what you're paying for is literally that logo on the bag. I mean, stuff like that, anything with the NFL logo, and college is getting just as bad. Brian brought up the $85 Bills hoodie. Brian, the same hoodie but with Virginia Tech on it, also $85. I mean, anything with copyrighted or trademarked logos, I mean, we're in the $80 now. And like you said, it's ridiculous. And also, I can go to Wegmans. Every Wegmans in town right now, or at least the ones in the North Towns, because I've been doing some Instacarting, they all have a clearance rack. They all have Bills hoodies in the front of the store. $29. You know, okay, it's not the Nike, but it's got the Bills logo. That's what people are looking for.
Am I crazy in thinking that because I bought a Bills sweatshirt 2 or 3 years ago, I'm pretty sure I paid like around $50 for it. The same exact type of sweatshirt that is $85 now.
By the way,
I'm on the site.
I thought 50 was ridiculous. I just want to go on record.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too. I thought 50 was crazy, but, you know, bit the bullet, spent $50, got it. I mean, that same thing now is $80 or $85. I'm actually looking at the same one, $75. This one that's three years old.
It's the exact same one.
So a 50% price jump in 3 years for the exact same product. Am I crazy in thinking I had a hard time finding that when I bought it? Like, I had to buy the last one online. And now, is it just me? There's obviously, it's the start of the season. Like, now, looking at it now compared to, say, in January, February, it's not going to be the same.
Right.
But they're like overflowing with products I think from like the end of last year too.
Oh yeah.
Am I crazy in thinking that? Like there's way more leftover stuff than there was 2-3 years ago. And I really do think that's because it's so much more expensive. By the way, 803-0930, you can weigh in here. Have you bought something? Are you contemplating buying it? Have you noticed the huge price increase? And it's not just, doesn't have to be on Bill's stuff too. We're talking about this Dick's Sporting Goods. They're blaming retail theft for a drop in profits, but I have a feeling it's walk-in people too who might have picked up a few things, and now you're not doing it because everything's so much more expensive.
I mean, last year, I went to Dick's Sporting Goods, the one right down the street, to get something for the USA soccer team, right, when we were going out to watch them play in the World Cup. I could not believe the prices. Brian, I ended up just saying, well, I don't want to look like, I don't want to be the only person there not wearing USA something. So I ended up buying a $30 t-shirt. A Nike $30 t-shirt.
That's typical now, though. $30 is cheap for a t-shirt, maybe.
But guys, to say, it's not the best quality t-shirt. About after three washes, the shirt's, it doesn't fit me the way it did when I bought it.
It's all junk.
Yeah, it's kind of $30. That's not even the most ridiculous thing inside Dick's. Have you gone to the hats? $45.99.
I was going
to
say, what's the cost of a hat?
$45.99 for a freaking hat.
I think $25 used to be the... And when I say used to be, I'm not like back in my day. No. Like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We were at $25, I think, was like the standard. If I saw $25 for a hat, I was like, yeah, that seems right.
Yes.
Now, I would say that's probably $35 on the low end to, they've got like all sorts of fancy hats, like $40 plus on the high end if you're talking like some of these new era hats.
The from the view, the crappiest looking hat on the website, $37.99. Yeah. I mean, it's insane. And like Brian said, this isn't just specific to the Bills. I mean, you walk in, there are a specific type of Under Armour shorts that I like to wear. Okay? So we're not picking on Nike. And there's really nothing to these shorts, Brian. Really, it's just so I'm not working out in my underwear, okay?
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Thank you.
They're very little fabric on these shorts. I like it because it's easier to do cardio in. And those go for over $50 for a pair of not much fabric Under Armour shorts.
Which, again, is not to say, like, I want to see like the TJ Maxx earnings. If that like happened in recent weeks, what that looks like. And if they are reporting the same thing, because it might be an easier store to steal out of. And I bet you they're not seeing the huge loss that they are, because you don't have to spend a lot of money. Like, there are so many options available to you. You don't have to spend $50 or something like that for a, you know, we were mentioning the Bills as an example, for a Bills shirt or sweatshirt. You can, there are options to get cheaper. You don't have to buy a $50 pair of workout shorts. You can, I bought a pair of shorts last week for $10.
Yeah.
You know, retail, I think on them was like $65 or something like that. But there are options available to you. And I think, Joe, that's why I go into one of those stores and the line is wrapped all the way around, like going down the aisles. And you go into a Dick's that's mentioned here and there's nobody in line ever.
I was just going to say, I mean, I got two pairs of those shorts I like with a gift card. The Rasbrine knockoffs, very similar from TJ Maxx. And you made the point I was just going to make. When I go to Dick's Sporting Goods, maybe they have it set up like a lot of people should be shopping there. Maybe one or two customers and one cashier. You go to TJ Maxx, next customer, line three is now open. Right? I mean,
there's 12 cashiers.
Yeah, 12 cashiers. They've got the line looped around, like you said. And that's any time of day. And like we were joking about this morning, we're just waiting for the Bills truck to get in for the season because that stuff will be right off the shelf.
Yeah. Again, I'm not going to pretend to know all the answers. And if they say that retail theft is a problem, I'm going to believe that retail theft is a problem.
I have no reason not to believe retail theft is a problem.
I don't think it explains a 23% drop in profits.
You are pricing people. You know, your biggest competitor is online, and you are pricing people to either TJ Maxx or online shopping. You are literally pricing your brick-and-mortar stores out of existence. It's exactly what happened with some of the big names that you saw leave the mall. It's what happened with Bed Bath & Beyond, because I can go to Target and get a coffee pot for $30. The same coffee pot's $80 at Bed Bath & Beyond. But look, it says made specifically for Bed Bath & Beyond. People aren't falling for that anymore. People have to do what's right for their wallet, for their checking account, as we talked about yesterday. These stores are literally pricing. I'm not saying theft's not a problem. Please don't take that wrong. But they are pricing themselves out of brick-and-mortar stores, which, in the long run, pricing jobs out of the area. That's exactly what's happening.
And it's grown exponentially in a way that... whose wages have kept up with... You know, I use the jersey as an example just because I know how much it used to cost. Like, I remember buying one. And the ones with, like, the fabric, the print-on numbers that most people get have gone from 95 to 130. The other ones from like 100 to 175. The sweatshirt from 50 to 75 or 85. It is kind of crazy. And then on the retail theft part, Morgan Norwood with more on what some of these places are doing.
Experts say some of those losses in stores are being passed on to consumers, forcing the average family to pay an estimated $500 more each year for goods. To fight back, Walgreens has launched a prototype store where all merchandise except for essential goods in two aisles is locked up, forcing customers to use kiosk to order what they need. A store employee then brings the item to checkout.
So at one point, is there a chicken the egg thing going on here? Because if the sweatshirt was a reasonable price, would as many people steal it? That's an honest question.
No, I mean, you'll always have
people who do that.
But yeah, I mean, $85. I'm looking at the tag. I really want that. I mean, I'm not a. But if you were,
or you, if you're talking organized retail crime, which like you see in the videos, right? Nordstrom. There's like a whole group of people just go in at once, take a bunch of stuff off the shelf, and go out. Then they look at the price tag and sell it online to people for what it used to cost. You know, $40 or something. Like, oh, what a deal. Right? And it's somebody who just stole it off the rack. If it wasn't that expensive, right, you probably don't really have that problem.
No. I mean, when you've got products $85, $90 that, like Brian said, 5 years ago was $40, $45, I mean, it gives the incentive, I guess.
It is. I mean, like, part of the problem is nothing happens to people who steal from stores. Part of the problem is also, like, it's what we talk about with tickets and ticket sales all the time. Now, tickets are so expensive to, you know, but, hey, people were paying that in the secondary market. It's just market demand. I think another part of the problem is, well, hey, all this stuff is on the shelf for $90. We know people are going to look for it for a cheaper price.
Yeah.
And will buy it from us. The other thing in that, Joe, is how much inconvenience can you put in people's way as a response to this?
That's another thing. And that's another situation that I think a lot of stores have put themselves in. The, you know, the first thing you're taught when you go to orientation to work at one of these big companies is, well, you know, if you see someone walking out, just alert your manager, but don't approach them. Don't approach them. I mean, maybe if everyone knows that now. Maybe if the thieves didn't know that they were going to be able to walk out and the police wouldn't be called and no one would say anything, we wouldn't be in this position. I hate to blame the companies, but you've kind of put yourself in this situation for a decade of saying, don't chase product out of the store, just let it go and notify your manager. Again, I understand you don't want to put your employees at risk, but there is something in the middle other than just let them go. You put yourself in the situation, and Brian's right. If I go to a pharmacy or some kind of store, and, you know, I look, oh, I really want this. Oh, I have to wait for someone. And again, there's a employee demand. So there's two people working there. It's going to take 30, 40 minutes. Wait a minute. I just saw this on my phone. Literally $15 cheaper and I'll get it tomorrow. I can wait out the door.
You know how long it takes to buy a taillight at a Walmart?
See, I did not know this until you told me this.
It's like because it's behind the lock and key to get somebody to come over. And then to have that person find somebody who has the key. You'll be waiting there an hour just to switch your taillight.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. At what point, you know, do you just say, I'm out of here? For me, I've reached that point a couple of times. What about you? 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN.
Hey, welcome back. It is BMaz and Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930, star 930. We will get to calls in just a second. I can't believe I didn't start the show with this. I have been missing a debit card of mine to get in the conversation we had yesterday, but I didn't want to cancel it because then it would ruin all my, you know, monthly payments that are linked to that card. So I had just been locking the card after using it. Yesterday, cleaned out under my driver's seat, found the card after like 2 months. So it was such a relief. Now I don't have to worry about retyping all the numbers in. We got the card. We're in business.
Yeah. Instead, you were just locking the card every time you
use it? So going to the app and locking the card after I knew a payment would come out. Yeah.
That sounds convenient.
Just in case someone had taken it. But no one had taken it. Now I have it.
We were talking about retail sales, and Dick's Sporting Goods says it's a theft problem, increasingly serious theft problem. That's the factor behind a 23% drop in its profits. And Joe and I were here saying, well, okay, we understand organized retail crime. We've seen the videos, right? It's a problem. Does it explain 23% drop in profits? I don't think so. I think there are a lot of other factors at play, and number one among them, we were saying the price. You walk in, what are the odds you are going to impulse buy a Bills sweatshirt, which is something, hey, here in Western New York, that is something that might be an impulse buy. You're at the store, maybe you're going to get little Timmy a glove for Little League.
Yeah.
Whatever. You're at the store, you're there for something, maybe another is you're not at the store anymore because you're not just walking through the mall. At the Boulevard or, you know, anywhere else.
That's true.
But you might be in the Plaza where one of the other locations is. You're at the store. Oh, yeah, Bills. I have like a new sweatshirt for Bills season, a couple games I go to. What are the odds you're going to buy one at $85?
No.
I mean, I think a few years ago at $50, the odds weren't good. At $85, give me a break. Nobody's doing that.
Do you realize,
that's got to be part of the problem.
Do you realize $85 is more than I pay for two get tickets to a game with season ticket prices?
Right. Like,
It's close. It's close. $85 is way more than a ticket in the 300 level if you're a season ticket holder.
Well, for all the talk we do about, you know, how much it costs for a tank of gas, I mean, it's 2.5 tanks for me, right? Like, even at gas prices. For real. How can you not put that in as part of the factor? Now, they said, well, it's the theft ripple effect that's because people are stealing. Now we're charging higher prices. I don't think so. And I think it's coming back to slam them in the face. These higher prices existed before all these videos of organized retail crime did. The higher prices are all across the country, not just in areas where you have a big retail crime problem like you see in some cities. And the raising the price, I think you are locking more people out where you've passed the point, the tipping point, where it makes financial sense. As somebody who's never seen the books.
Yeah, I mean, that's just from the outside looking in. That's what it looks like. But again, I think blaming just theft is, when I completely agree that theft is a problem. But I think you're also, like I said, you're pricing away your customers, and it's going to have, you want to talk about a ripple effect, it's going to have a ripple effect, and it's going to cost people their jobs. If you keep just, enough times you walk into a store and something is $85, $90, and then you go online and can find a similar hoodie for $40, people just stop coming to your store. I mean, again, we just saw two big name stores close, and that's exactly why. People were priced out from, I'm not even going to go look in that store anymore because I know I can't afford anything in there.
Or let's say prices are the same and now your focus is on theft and how to deter it. And you put so many roadblocks now in place that it makes it inconvenient to shop in the store. I think it's a big problem. 803-0930, we'll go to the phones. Robin, you're on WBEN. How's it going this morning, Robin?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Not doing too bad. What's going on?
Well, we got this free bed. It's a California King. And I needed sheets, so I ran into Macy's because I happened to be up that way, and the sheets were $185. So I was looking around, finally, 20 minutes later, found a salesperson that worked in that department, and I said to him, where are your sheets that are less than $100? So he takes me over to
the garbage?
No, to twins that are $50 with like Moana and, you know, Elsa from Frozen on. And I wouldn't even spend $50 on twin sheets for little kids. I was like, you got to be kidding. You have nothing under $185? Well, they're 1,800 thread count. Well, who needs that? I don't need 1,800 thread count. So I went out to the parking lot, got on the phone, looked up Amazon Prime, 600 thread count, which is plenty, $49.99 California King. They'll be here tomorrow.
There you go. And right? Robin, that's got to be, are you ever going to the store again?
No, and I used to be a gold card customer there. I mean, that was my go-to, was Macy's. You get, you know, they had great sales, they had great clearance, you could find nice dresses, different things like that, and no. No reason to. I mean, you know, we're getting to the retirement age. I am not spending $185 on sheets.
No. No. Now, Robin, I got to ask you, what does it take to get to be a gold cart shopper?
You know what? I don't even know. You just the more you spend, I guess, you spent a lot of money there. Right. Yeah. Right. So you get your rewards and all that. It was like one of my favorite spots, but
they're pricing people, you know, right out.
They are. I live in the Machias Ellicottville area. We have Walmart, we have TJ Maxx, and Big Lots. And I tell you, everything I can get is in those three stores.
It's pretty true.
Hey, Robin, thanks for the call. That's crazy for sheets.
Yeah.
But it doesn't surprise me the last time I shop for sheets. And like what you see in the stores in terms of pricing.
Yeah. No, I mean, you look at Target now for sheets, and that used to be, you got your sheets at Target, but now it's, I got my sheets at Target. Guess what? They're pretty comfortable, and I didn't overpay. I mean, again, I hate to go back to Bed Bath & Beyond, but Brian, what they were charging for sheets at Bed Bath & Beyond was insane. And Robin put it perfectly there. What are the stores you're going to? You are going to the Big Lots. You're going to the TJ Maxx because the stores, like Dick's, have priced you out.
Yeah. On the text board, 803-0930, someone saying went to a bill shop, spent $90 on a youth t-shirt and a women's t-shirt. Two t-shirts, $90. Like that, it is absolutely wild. Somebody else saying, everyone keeps saying, oh, got to get a jersey. Maybe if it was $20 to $30, I'm not going to spend $170 to have a jersey.
Right.
I think a lot of people are exactly like that. And how about this? Someone saying, maybe a lot of us have learned due to the last couple of years, we can live without a lot of the stuff we had thought we had to have, less impulse spending. And while that might be true for some people, I think it is the opposite for others, and I keep bringing this up with a lot of our financial guests, Joe, when this student loan repayment pause goes into effect, I think it will have a bigger impact than a lot of people are wanting to admit right now. Target admitted it last week when people have 300, and there's a big, I think there's a big city versus, you know, place like Buffalo disconnect on this. You know, we talked to, I love having Jill on the show. But she made mention the other week of, $300, $200. We're not talking about somebody having to decide between making their student loan payment and paying rent. And I wanted to go, well, hold up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. For a lot of people, you're 20-something years old. Rent is how much? An extra $200 a month now you have to pay, you're on the hook for? You might be in a problem here. And maybe you're not deciding on rent, but as Target said last week, you're certainly, if you have $200 a month extra, you have to pay that you haven't for the last 3+ years, you're probably not buying an $85 sweatshirt.
No, that's the last thing you're buying. And I would push back that I think during the pandemic, people actually did more impulse buying, right? Oh, wait, yeah. I have $1,200 in my my checking account. Let me go on Amazon. And the brick and mortar stores all missed out. People online did a lot of impulse shopping. And I think Target's 100% correct. They are going to definitely notice because they're, let's be honest, their shoppers, a lot of them are freshly out of college or in their 20s and 30s, still paying their loans back. They're definitely going to notice that money going down. Target and Starbucks are going to notice a big drop in income.
So we saw that a lot of retailers, we heard there that some of them are trying new models where everything's kind of behind a lock and key. You have to decide what you want first, and then someone comes and gets it for you and brings it to you in order to prevent theft. But how much theft prevention are you willing to go through to shop at a physical store. Because now you're walking a fine line between, all right, we have to stop theft, okay, but you put too many roadblocks in here. You know, the whole idea of being a store is convenient. All right, I can go swing by, maybe on my way somewhere, pick it up in person, have it in my hands right away. Sometimes it's a little less convenient because you actually have to leave the house and go somewhere and pick it up. But now we're talking about extra steps. You need to find somebody who needs to unlock it. Like, you add in all these steps. Part of, you know, shopping in person is seeing and feeling the product.
Yes.
You take that out of the equation. How many more people are just going to say, well, forget it, I'll just buy it online?
I think more and more. I think that's what you're seeing. And what, you know, a few texters said, why don't we go back to the old brand names setup where you go in. That's not going to work. When I can get it to my door
they
the
went
next
out of business.
Day. Yeah, that too. But when I can go to my door the next day, like the old order it on the catalog and go pick it up in the store, that's not going to happen. That's going to get more people to look at their computer screen and just keep them at home. And I think Brian's right. I can't tell you the amount of times, and I hate to keep going back to my experience, but the amount of times that people would see the price of something, and this is before anything was locked up, Brian, but would see the price of something and then go on their phone and order on their phone. If you don't think while they're waiting for the person with the "can I help you" apron to come around the store and find you, they aren't looking online and finding either better prices or "can I get this tomorrow somewhere else?" You're crazy.
It already stops me from, if I see something under lock and key, I'm just not buying it. Like, I've done enough waiting in my life to know that it's going to be this huge process to get somebody over, to find somebody who has the key. I mean, to get somebody over in the first place is just impossible in some places, that I'm not even gonna bother. I might just walk out the store. If I was there to get, you know, that one specific thing or two things, I might just walk out of the store and not buy anything.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to deal with it. And now you're going to put that. It's already turned into a problem. I mentioned to you Sam's Club in the break. And they
This one's, to me, is just wild.
But so Sam's Club is, you know, so we shop at, it's, I'm mostly there for the gas. That's why I'm a member. But we can do some shopping there. I will not go there and buy one thing, which I would be of the mind to do. I also am at BJ's here, and I'll go and do that. If we need, you know, we buy the baby formula from there because it comes in the big box. It's a lot cheaper. If we need formula or something like that, or I need, I buy my yogurt. I try to there. If I just need one thing, I'll run in and go and buy that. I won't necessarily do that at Sam's Club, though, anymore. Because there, it's what they decide they need to do to stop theft. They check you at the door. Now, you know, some places check you at the door. Oh, they look at your receipt. They look at the cart. You know, come on. You're not checking anything. Like, you have no. But it's a quick transaction. Okay, check. See ya. Like, you're out the door. At Sam's Club, they will scan your receipt and then scan whatever's in your hand or a couple of things in the cart, and you're good to go. Now, that's a lot better of a system from the store standpoint than relying on somebody just snooping around looking at your cart to make sure you have the same number of items. But from the consumer standpoint, sometimes you go to walk out the store, the line stretches from the door all the way to the food court of people just standing there after they've gone through the checkout process, after they've done their shopping. Now you're waiting in this long line just to walk out of the store, and it's gotten to a point where I will not go to that store if I only need it. Like, it has to be a big shopping trip to get me to go there, because I'm not waiting in another line to walk out the store like that. It's too much.
See, I don't disagree with the policy. I think this is all on the person hired to do that job. There is no reason that should take a long time. As someone who has mastered the self-checkout, especially with the gun, right? Boom, 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 everything in the cart. That should be the most a 30-second experience. It should not be taking any longer than you have your receipt. Hey, sign. Have your receipt ready to go. Boom. Scan. Find three things. Get out.
I think you can go as fast as that. You're dealing with a couple things. One, there's going to be shoppers who don't have the receipt ready because they're not
back of the line.
Used to.
Back of the line.
I like the idea, but you're not going to be able to do that. But you're going to have, like, people aren't necessarily ready. And, like, it just adds up, right? So, like, it takes you 30 seconds, but okay, it's 30 more seconds. It took 0 seconds before to walk through the door. So now that person's back. And then you got a person behind. Like, there's a lot of people shopping, especially at peak hours, and there's only one, maybe two people doing that. Yeah. You're just always going to have a backup, even if you're really fast. And as somebody who doesn't like waiting in line, I don't know. I'm not going to. And by the way, while we're just talking about these club stores, if I pay to shop at a store, I don't want to be solicited in the store. How come it's only stores that you pay a membership for the quote-unquote privilege to shop at? You get accosted while you're walking up down the aisle.
Can I talk to you about this?
Hey, who do you have as your cell phone provider?
I hate that.
I'm like, nobody. Yeah. I keep walking. I'll be there with a toddler in the cart, and I just go, like, sometimes, like, buddy, like, I'm not talking about my electricity provider with you right now. I need to pick up yogurt and get out of here.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Come on.
That is such a great point. You pay to be there, and yeah, you've got these. It's usually two guys walking around the store with a clipboard. Like, no, I'm not.
Only
I'm not
stores where you pay to go to.
No, please go back to the mall and find people walking by. This is. I'm here. I know why I'm here. I paid because I know why I'm here.
It's like Netflix saying, "Hey, we're a new commercial tier for paying customers. Everyone else gets it free without commercials. But if you pay for it, you get the commercials too."
Someone mentioned the Sam's Scan and Go app. Is there a quicker way to
use that? I'll use that. Okay. I think Justin is on the phone wanting to talk about that. Justin, I use this app, but it doesn't get you out of the person at the door.
No, but it's a lot quicker than standing in line with, you know, 60 items waiting for someone to check you out or waiting behind somebody. I just look at those people and I'm like, why are you standing in line?
Yeah.
So, I use that store. That store pays for itself. I have the Plus membership. It gives you cash back. By the time I'm done, I don't pay for a membership. So,
hey,
I mean.
Appreciate the call. You mentioned the Plus member. I didn't know there's different levels to memberships. I went one time. It was early in the day. It was when I was home watching both kids. And so we went out early. Got some shopping done that we needed to get done, and it wouldn't let me cash out at the self-checkout. I'm like, what the heck's going on? I wasn't a high enough tier member to shop before 10 a.m.
That's ridiculous.
I'm like, what?
So did you upgrade right there?
No, I'm like, what are you talking about? So this lady comes by, and they're like, oh, well, do you want to upgrade?
Yeah,
I'm like, no, I will literally leave this cart right here and walk out. Like, I'm not upgrading a membership. I'm only here early this time because I'm home with the kid. Like, this
you won't will be usually taking.
Yeah. Never happen again. I work until 10, like every single day. Like, what insanity is this? They let me just go, oh, we'll let you go just this once. I'm like, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, you just put this bad taste in the back of my mouth of something that's never going to affect me again, but now I'm just only thinking about that every time I walk
into the
store.
You got the free trial.
Yeah.
You know, we heard earlier in the week of people walking into a Phillies game, right, and be your face is your ticket. Don't we have some kind of camera that can just look at your cart and make sure that everything you scanned out? Like, don't we have that
it's
kind
like
of technology?
Like the Amazon store.
Yeah. Don't we have that kind of technology?
I'm creeped out by it. I don't know if I'd like to shop there. Where you, like, scan yourself walking
in. Do you
want
to wait in the line with the slow person with the
I'll
scanner?
I'll just order it online at that point.
Okay. All right.
You
fair
know?
Enough.
Like,
fair
I'll enough. Just, I'll avoid the store, and you can't see if I wash my hair today.
I tested one of those Amazon stores in New York. I thought it was pretty cool, but, you know, it is a little creepy. It can be both. It can be cool and creepy.
Someone on the text board, I heard the clubs check your receipt and cart contents because they don't trust their own cashiers to do their job properly. Well, I'm the cashier now.
Yes. It's a whole other thing. Even though I do like self-checkout. I know we've done this show. I do like self-checkout. I feel like I can scan things and get them back in my cart faster than anyone else. No offense to the cashiers out there, but I do like the self-checkout, especially when you're in a hurry.
I've always said it's a cocky move by me to use the self-checkout. It's like, listen, I know you've went through training. This is your paid job. I'm a total novice. Never done this before. Watch me do it better than you.
I mean,
and
to be fair,
results speak for themselves, that's all I'll say.
I did spend 6 months as a cashier at Jubilee in 2004, so I do still have the skill. That is B-Maz and Beamer for this Wednesday. I don't know, I'm ending the show like it's Hardline. David is next, and then Tom Puckett here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Brian and I will be back tomorrow morning.